Yo, I just got robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. Who's with me? You know, like anyone. Yo, anyone. Yo. Yo, is this not relatable?
Bro, ain't no fucking way.
The fuck does that even happen?
Not again, bro. Now, I'm not gonna lie. Japan is one of the safest countries in the entire world. And apparently, there's only 3,065 homeless motherfuckers in the entire country. So, in order to get robbed by a homeless dude in Japan, you either need to be unlucky as fuck or just a complete dumbass. But way back when this story took place, I was a certified dickhead, bro. At the time, I had the critical thinking skills of a newly born chimpanzee mixed with the spatial awareness of a fucking Joe Biden on top of the decision making skills of Joe Biden's son. So with that being said, this story takes place way back a few weeks ago when me, Bob, and Billy hopped on a flight to Tokyo. And as soon as we arrived in the city, we started absorbing all that food, bro. Sushi, ramen, fucking cow testicles, you name it, we ate it. And after an entire week of decimating every last crumb of food in Tokyo, we thought, well, that was fun. I guess it's time to go home. Yeah, I guess so. And as we're ready to pack it up, we overhear a few people talking.
Oh, hey, konnichiwa. We come from the United States of America. How do we go to Osaka?
Yeah, man, Osaka has some of the best food in Japan. Just take this train right here and you're there.
Wow, you're English. Very good.
I'm from Washington, dipshit.
Oh, I see. Washington, dipshit. Is that Chinese or...
Holy shit, did you hear that?
Yeah, no, that guy's fucking clueless.
No, I'm talking about Osaka. Apparently the food's even better over there.
Oh shit, yeah, but don't you think we had enough food already?
I mean, shit, we are in Japan.
Fuck it, bro, let's go.
So we hopped on the train and got off in Osaka. And like the certified fat asses me and the boys are, we were looking around for some food. And the moment we seen all you can eat Wagyu beef for just 30 bones, we all knew what had to happen. We walked in that bitch and wasted no time. We were running through that meat like Tiana Trump in her prime. Cause sometimes we were burning the meat, sometimes we're taking it raw, but at the end of the day, the meat filled us up and made us happy. So we thanked the owner, left the shop, and headed back to our hotel. And man, I was full as hell for like an hour. And then I was like, yo, who's trying to get some more food? The fuck? Bro, we just ate a whole goddamn cow.
Yeah, we did.
Like, we probably just canceled out the life work of 5 vegans in one sitting.
Tight shit.
And it's already like 8 p.m., bro. It's dark as hell.
Well, I'ma go out anyways. You know why?
Why?
Cause we in Japan.
Man, get your fat ass out this goddamn hotel. So I got my fat ass out the goddamn hotel and started walking around. And all I took with me was my phone, the key to the hotel, about $100 worth of yen, and a smile on my face, knowing I had never in my life been robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. But little did I know, all that was about to change on this wild ass Friday night. Now, if there's one thing I learned about Japan, it's that everyone there is very kind, extremely polite, and a raging alcoholic. I'm talking they clock out of work at 6 p.m. and they clock into the bar at 6:02, and they don't leave until... I mean, shit, they don't leave until it's time to go back to work, bruh. Cause the Japanese people work hard, but their liver works harder. But regardless, I'm casually walking through the city when I hear someone yell from across the street.
Yo.
So naturally, I'm like, yo. And they're like,
come here.
And I'm like, shit, okay. So I walk across the street and see 3 individuals posted outside this little bar shop thing like,
yo, I'm Yuto. This is Emi. This is twin sister Shigo.
Hey, it's my first day working here. Come inside.
Shit, I don't know. I'm just trying to get some food somewhere tonight in Osaka. I don't know if it's
You want Osaka fucking night food?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I want Osaka fucking night food.
Read the sign.
Osaka fucking night food. Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough. Shit,
you know what? Come get shots. I pay.
Shit, we in Japan. So they take me inside and everyone there is just happy as fuck. They got Rihanna playing on the speakers, dudes bringing out shots, and the chef was turning up so hard, dude started twerking, and damn, that boy was cooking.
Bro, what?
Shit, I mean, like, he was cooking with the food, like, man, fuck! But the vibes were just so good and inviting that I felt like I just got welcomed into this Japanese family. So we all cheers and take the shots. And now I'm drinking, and I'm drinking with only one goal in mind, and that's to keep up with my newly found Japanese family. And so to prepare my stomach, I get me some Osaka fucking night food, and it was scrumptious. But as I'm slurping up this kebab, I see Emmy come back with 3 more shots, and she's like, you want one?
Shit. We in Japan. So we take the shots and I'm talking to Emmy, and one way or another we start talking about our alcohol tolerance.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it takes a lot for me to get drunk.
Not as much as me.
Whoa, is that a bet?
Yeah, it is. Bitch. So we're drinking everything in sight. Vodka, soju, sake, tequila. It's a competition. Now, I made the bet in the first place because I'm twice her size. But one thing I forgot to account for was the fact her entire lineage had been training generations for this very moment. So she's taking these shots to the face like... well, shit, like Tiana Trump in her prime, and I'm going shot for shot with her. And after taking about 8 shots, I was feeling it, bruh.
Yo, let's go play darts.
I mean, I never really played darts in my life, but shit, we in Japan. So we pull up to a darts bar, just me, Emmy, and Yuto. And I had never played darts a day in my life, but you ever just try some shit and you're just inherently good at it? Yeah, right? Right? Yeah, that shit was not me, bro. I was dog shit. I was out there looking like I was drunk as hell. I was drunk as hell. Cause in order to play, each person had to buy a soju. So now I'm about 12 shots deep, throwing darts, trying to hit a circle the size of a pea, while this little Japanese girl's pushing me and shit. Cause to her, this was a game. To me, this was survival. Cause every time you lose, you gotta take a shot. And if I keep taking shots like this, these shots about to start taking me, bruh. And sure as hell, I lost the first game. I took my shot and Emmy's like, how drunk are you right now? And I can't let her know I'm losing this bet, so I'm in that bitch like, drunk? Nah. Shit, where I'm from, we brush our teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Okay, then loser takes 2 shots.
Yeah, let's do it. So one thing leads to another, and now I'm 16 shots deep, and Emmy's like,
I'm gonna go to the washroom, I'll be right back.
And then Yuto's like,
yo, James, we must talk.
Oh shit, yeah, what's up? Now Yuto had a strong accent and very limited English, so it really went some like,
Emmy, bomber.
Huh?
Emmy, have bomber.
Yo, Yuto, I don't speak Japanese, dog.
No, Emmy, use bomber. Swipe left, swipe right, bomber.
Oh shit, Emmy uses bumble. Okay.
Yes, and she texts the bumble guy. Come here.
Oh hell nah, bruh. I'ma have to abort mission.
Me too.
You too?
Hi, Emmy, to you, daddy. Fuck Emmy.
Oh shit, facts, let's do it. So we sneak away to the elevator and we're spamming the up button trying to leave, and this shit is just not coming, bruh. So we both peek around the corner to see if she's coming, and she notices us.
Oh shit, guys, we're leaving?
Yeah, we are leaving. Fuck. So we all get in the elevator and Yuto whispers in my ear like,
when the elevator open, we run.
And I'm drunk as shit, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school, so as soon as the doors open, we hauled ass, bro. And I just kept running till Yuto was like,
stop, we go to bar.
And I'm just having a great time existing at this point, so I walk into this bar all drunk like,
where the hoes at? Oh shit.
Where the bros at?
Yeah.
Yuto took me to a gay bar, bruh. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with a gay bar, but it was the fact that after drinking 16 shots, I just sprinted full speed away from a cute Japanese girl to run straight into a room filled with a bunch of sweaty gay dudes. And these motherfuckers were looking at me like I'm some fresh meat or some shit. And it really just had me questioning my entire life. I was in that bitch confused, frustrated, drunk as hell, ready to crash out. I was gonna leave that bar looking like... I would like a
fruit explosion!
What, no, Sebastian, what the wrong video? What the fuck?
Oh, hey, is that Diddy?
So you're trying to see a fruit explosion, huh?
No! So I left the gay bar, called up Emmy, we link back up, and the first thing she says to me is,
fuck you!
Fuck me? What? Nah, fuck you!
Why'd you run from me?
Bruh, you were inviting bumble dudes and shit.
What? No, what are you even talking about?
I mean, Yuto said, like, you know what? Don't even worry about it.
Okay. Well, let's go to the club.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. So we're at the club doing club shit, and after an hour or so, she's like,
let's take some shots.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. I am blackout drunk, bruh. I don't even know how many shots deep I am at this point, but all I know is I'm so drunk, I gained the ability to fucking teleport. So I'm in the club, and as soon as I blink, I'm in a bar. Then I'm in a club, back to a bar, to a new club, McDonald's, bar, karaoke, club, bar, love hotel.
Love hotel? Man, what the fuck?
You said you wanted to sleep.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, nah, I probably said some shit like that. I don't fucking know.
So we walk into our room, and the very first thing I notice...
The hub on the TV, vibration devices on the bed, protection everywhere. Shorty just lured me to the Japanese freak chamber, bruh.
I blink and we teleport to the bed, but we were just talking like,
yo. Yuto said you were inviting dudes from Bumble.
Oh my god, okay, Yuto's a liar. Listen, I gotta tell you something, but you can't tell anyone.
Yeah, nah,
I won't tell a soul, you know? I will not post this on YouTube, clip it up, post it on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Reels, or anything like that, you know? Like, yeah, that'd be weird.
So Yuto's homeless. Wait, what?
Yeah, like, he just goes to the gay bar and then goes back to a dude's house and sleeps there.
Damn. Oh, man, I didn't even know.
And then he steals their money.
Wait, he what?
Yeah, he just steals their money.
Wait, but it's just the gay dudes, right?
Yeah, it's mostly just the gay dudes.
I check my pockets, the money's gone.
Fuck.
You said it's only the gay dudes.
Yeah, nah, he just steals from the gay dudes.
Fuck, I wanna go home, bruh.
So I leave the love hotel, and at this point, the sun is coming up, and I'm still drunk as hell, walking like a zombie.
I pull out my phone to go use Google Maps,
and that shit dies, bro.
So now it's just me and my last few brain cells trying to make it to my hotel before I pass out.
And I'm stepping over Japanese motherfuckers, blackout drunk, sleeping on the sidewalks, thinking I can't end up like them, but honestly, I have no clue where I am, no clue where the hotel is, and no clue what time it is.
And after what felt like hours of aimlessly walking around, I blinked and I fell asleep, bruh.
And when I woke up, I was in my bed. I genuinely don't know how, who, what, when, or why, but shit, I wasn't complaining.
But by the time I got out of bed, it was 6 p.m. and I didn't remember shit. I had to go through my camera roll and piece everything together like The Hangover.
But at least that Friday night, I learned a very valuable lesson.
Don't try to outdrink the Japanese motherfuckers, bro. You'll lose every time.
All right, listen, I'm creating something I like to call the internet.
Yo, what does it do?
On the internet, people are going to be able to search up literally any question they have. They're going to be able to watch videos for educational purposes. And the craziest achievement yet, you can communicate with literally anyone across the entire world.
Bro, this is going to change the world.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie, the internet is 100% one of the greatest inventions of all time. Like, that shit's up there with the light bulb, the airplane, the Tesla koozie. Like, they're all groundbreaking inventions, but the internet just has to be number one, bro. Like, imagine telling a caveman you had a magical box where you could make anything pop up in 2 seconds.
Yo, caveman Dave, I got a magical box where you can make anything pop up in 2 seconds.
Oh shit, cool. Do you know her or something?
Oh, Dave, get the fuck.
Now, caveman Dave absolutely dicking down the computer monitor seems stupid, barbaric, uncivilized, you know? Like, who's gonna tell bro they're just pixels on a screen, am I right?
Facts! Yo, caveman Dave is a dumbass!
Facts, yeah, nah, don't let me see your search history.
You know, we don't gotta do all that. You know, oh, okay.
Monstrous KFC mukbang.
I like KFC.
Fat motherfuckers eating a lot of food.
I was hungry.
Yo, big butt booty Latina oiled up, shaking that diggity dump truck dog. What are you searching?
Okay, listen, like, my finger slipped.
Yeah, bro, 2025 is the weirdest time to have access to the internet. And that's just cause everybody has that shit. Like, I got it, you got it, my grandma's got it, Kanye's got it.
Man, you and your grandma.
Kanye still got it.
And I'm and I fucking hate so every thing and I'm done.
Okay, yeah, well, not anymore. But I don't know if it's just me, but recently the internet has been getting more and more out of pocket, bro. Like, I'll be having a fantastic day, just chilling, until I pull up Instagram and see some shit talking about, imagine your car declines at the abortion clinic and the doctor start nutting in you. Yeah, this motherfucker's never getting a job, bro. Like, his digital footprint's up there with fucking Kanye, bro.
Aw, hell nah.
Alright, his shit isn't yay bad, but imagine dude trying to apply to a university like, yes sir, this has been a dream of mine since I was a little kid, and I've spent thousands of hours studying, and it would be an absolute pleasure to join your program.
Wow, that's amazing, and it seems like your GPA is a perfect 4.0, and man, your volunteer work is nothing short of impressive. I mean, building an entire village in Africa with your bare hands, I mean, jeez. That's good stuff.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Yeah, now, I do just have one last question.
Yeah, anything.
What would happen if your car got declined in an abortion clinic?
Holy shit, is that Girthy Dishwasher 97?
Yep. Yeah, it's me, bro.
Yo, most relatable content on Instagram, I swear.
Yo, actually, I really never get the credit that
I deserve. Just put the fries in the bag.
Oh, okay.
And speaking of getting a job, you ever seen a kid under 7 years old post literally anything on Instagram? Yo, the comment section has a field day, bro. Like, the video will be of a kid who's just barely on the brink of gaining consciousness, and the comments are talking about,
get a job, little motherfucker. Somebody get bro some fentanyl. I'm gonna touch you in places you ain't even know existed, little motherfucker.
Like, bro, stop touching these 6 year old kids and touch some grass, dickhead. Yeah, but I'm not gonna lie, as a motherfucker who draws Stickman for 16 hours a day, I really gotta start taking some of my own advice, bro.
Wait, what's your advice?
Oh, I mean, stop touching these 6 year old kids.
You touch 6 year old kids?
I'm talking about Gurgi Force.
Chains, you know the drill.
God damn.
Bro.
Even these motherfuckers have the internet, bro. Like, what could you even possibly be posting?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, nah. We gotta start banning motherfuckers from the internet, bro. And I think we should all do a poll for the first person to go. You know, like, take your time. Oh, shit. Okay, never mind. Votes are in. Looks like we're banning Jack Doherty. Why in the fuckity shit did you just ban Jack Doherty?
You know what?
Ban his the last two, bro. Actually, ban every single kid on the internet. Like, put down the Instagram reels, go outside and eat rocks like a normal kid before Gurgi Foreskin 445 fucks around and finds your IP address, bro. Cause there's a lot of weird motherfuckers online, especially considering the impending gooner epidemic of 2025. Now, if you're unaware of this widespread epidemic, well, fucking good for you, but there's been a recent spike in the amount of gooners seen online. Like, the type of motherfucker who'll be scrolling and see a video of a Cheeto that's kind of built somewhat like a Kardashian, and next thing you know, bro's got a DIY screen protector, bro. And I swear these gooners have no clue it's a problem either. Like, they probably show up to the doctor's office for a quick little checkup, and the doctor has to break the news to them, like,
yeah, Mr. Gooningson? Yeah, I'm sorry, but you gotta stop masturbating.
No, wait, what? No, wait, why?
Cause I'm trying to examine you, dumbass.
Oh, shit. Like, it's honestly mind-blowing how having access to the internet with all its power and infinite knowledge just makes us more stupid, bro. Like, at any given moment, we have the resources to learn quantum physics or learn how we can watch Skibbity Toilet.
What? No. Why the fuck would we watch Skibbity Toilet?
Shit, man, this stuff's good. Just take a watch.
No, I'm not watching that shit.
Just real quick.
Yo, why are you recording me, bruh?
We're filming a YouTube video, dumbass.
Oh, shit, yeah, you're right. So I was saying there's a lot of people nowadays addicted to the internet and shit, like that guy over there.
Where? Bro.
What? Oh, shit, yeah, what I was saying was, back in the day, the internet was just for shit like cute cat videos and cool math games and shit, but nowadays, the internet has everything your brain craves. Like, it's got food for you, it's got friends for you, it's funny, it's educational, bro, it has Cheetos built like Kardashians, bro. And as if the internet having everything we ever needed wasn't enough, these motherfuckers invented AI, bro. Now, maybe it's just me, but this AI shit is getting a little too good, bro. I mean, when ChatGPT first came out, I was using that bad boy for all kinds of shit. Whenever I couldn't do my homework, ChatGPT. When I forgot a recipe, ChatGPT. When I couldn't get a girlfriend, cry myself to sleep. And then ask ChatGPT. Like, back in the day, I was using that shit to fix all my problems. But nowadays, shit, nowadays I just be using it to spend quality time with bro.
Holy shit, this guy's a gooner if I've ever seen one.
And no, I'm not a fucking gooner, bro. I'm just spending some time getting to know my homie Mr. GPT. Cause when the day comes and that motherfucker and his AI homies decide to take over and kill the entire Stickman race, you're gonna be getting your shit annihilated, bro. And I'ma just be like, yo, GP, you don't gotta do this, bro. Remember when we used to talk about our feelings together and I used to send you line art of sexy Squidward and shit, like,
ha, you fucking goober.
And honestly, I feel like the people are less scared of the robots taking over the entire world and they're more scared of them taking their jobs. But I'ma keep it a buck, I cannot relate, bro. Like, AI could never do the shit I do. AI could never do the shit I do.
Wait, what the fuck?
Who does this bum think he is, bro?
Who does this bum think he is, bro?
That shit doesn't even sound like me, bro. So you want to copy everything, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sure you want to do this?
Yeah, you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
All
right, let's go. All right,
let's go.
I like little kids. Yep. Yo. Like, you loading or something? Like, what's going on? You gonna repeat it, or, you
know? Undercover police has Bodge back.
Oh, hell no!
Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, leprechauns, unicorns, two pretty best friends, and love.
They don't exist, bro.
I've looked far and wide, I've searched the depths of the valleys and the highs of the mountains, and yet still, one of the friends always gotta be chopped, bro. But love too though, man. I've searched everywhere. I've scoured my hometown. I've gone from the coast of Mexico to the cities of Japan. But one way or another, I always just end up with nobody to love. Or I end up getting robbed by gay homeless, dude. I mean, I was down bad, bro. It got to the point I thought maybe I just wasn't meant to find a girlfriend. Maybe this was just a face only a mother could love.
Ew, get that shit off the screen.
What, Mom?
So I hopped on a flight to Barcelona, and this story takes place a few weeks ago. It's a new continent, new city with new people, and maybe even a new girlfriend. And so as soon as I stepped foot on that Spanish soil, I downloaded Tinder and got the swiping, bro. Fine shit, swipe right. Cute shit, swipe right. Chop shit. Swipe right, bro. It's a numbers game. I done swiped so much my thumb had a six pack and I ran out of girls to swipe on. But shit, I mean, it's a numbers game. And since I pulled up solo dolo, I went and checked into a hostel. Now, if you don't know what a hostel is, it's pretty much like a little hotel, except you share your room with like six other motherfuckers. But to be fair, you save a lot of money. And I low-key don't mind sleeping with some random dudes if it means I get some extra change in my pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Is 15 enough?
Nah, the hostel is like 30-something.
Oh, nah, I don't need a hostel.
What? Wait, no, not like that, bro. Anyway, sleeping in that hostel was fucking crazy, bro. Like, first night I got there, I hopped in my little twin bunk bed and closed the curtains, and everyone was like,
"All right, good night, boys.
Sweet dreams. Love you, motherfuckers.
Too, love man. Y'all, motherfuckers. Yo, motherfucker on the top right bunk, stay back.
Good night.
And
I love you.
Love you too, bro. Lights out."
So the sun came up and my ass didn't get a drop of sleep. But regardless, I got out of bed, got some coffee, explored the city, hit the beach, got some food, all the normal shit you do when you're in a new city. But after a long day of tourist shit, I went back to my room. I went back to our room. I hopped in my little bunk bed and prepared myself to open up Tinder after letting that shit cook for a solid 24 hours. And when I opened that shit up, yo, I got 28 matches.
Yeah,
thank you, bro. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Now I'm gonna keep it a buck. Initially, that number 28 was looking mad nice until I clicked that shit and started looking through my matches and realized, yo, this shit is not a numbers game, bro. Like, you know you're cooked when the chuds are sliding on you saying shit like, "Hey, yo, I'm trying to put you in chains for real and then touch your stick, man." Yeah. Yeah, nah, I'm deleting this shit, bro. And just as I'm about to give up on my dreams of finding my other half, I get a new match. It's Yvonne, straight dime, certified fine shit, bro. I had to slide in with some heat. So I'm like, Yvonne? Nah, more like King Vaughn, because I'm trying to take you to the O. Of marriage. Now that would be a crazy story. Opening bracket featuring Lil Durk, closing bracket. And before I send her some absolute bullshit like that, she hits me with a, "Hey." Oh, you know, nah, that works. What's up? How are you?
Great, how are you?
And we end up having a marvelous conversation. We share a bunch of beliefs, perspectives, and above all, we got the same taste in music. So I'm like, "You free tomorrow?"
"Yeah, I'm free tomorrow."
"What's your favorite food?"
I'm a drinks type of girl.
Say less, I know a place. I don't know shit. I literally just got here, bro.
"Okay, see you tomorrow."
And just like that, I just got myself a date.
"I'm coming."
"Nah, you can't come. It's my date, bro." Oh, hell no. So that night, I did a little research and found the coolest bar in Barcelona. But when I went to make a reservation online, they only do in-person virtual queues. So instead, I went to sleep.
Yeah, ever heard of jerk meat?
So the next day, I woke up with some pep in my goddamn step. I looked at some fire architecture. I hit a mean leg day. Ate some gas Spanish food. And before I knew it, it was time to get ready for my day. So I hopped in the shower, put on my toughest fit, sprayed on a little Valentino, hopped in the Uber, and arrived at the bar 30 minutes early. So this way, I could join the virtual queue in order to get into the bar at 9 p.m. sharp. So I'm waiting outside and Fine Shit messages me like, yo, I'm gonna be a little bit late. I'm still doing my hair. And I'm all like, that's no problem. I know some people. I can make some calls. Don't worry about it. So I walk up to the security out front like, yo, so Fine Shit says she's gonna be a little bit late. Can I change the time or something?
Nah, bro, just rejoin.
I bet. So I rejoin, go sit outside and wait, and then I get another text message. I'm so sorry, but my makeup took longer than I thought, so I'm gonna be a little extra late. So I walk up, rejoin the queue, and security's like,
yo, what's going on?
Ah, it's nothing. Fine Shit's makeup took a little longer than expected, you know?
Hey, listen, man. This Fine Shit of yours, you sure she's even coming?
Nah, yeah, nah, of course, that's Fine Shit, she's coming. So I go back and sit down outside, but looking back, I definitely gave her the benefit of the doubt, but that was her first red flag. So now it's about 9:40 p.m. and I get a text message from Yvonne that reads, I'm here. So I go to link with Yvonne for the moment of truth, whether or not I'm about to go on a date with Fine Shit or 50-year-old neck-bearded catfish shit, and fortunately for me, no catfish.
Change.
Yo.
Hey.
What's up? Now, the virtual queue still had 10 minutes before we could get in, so we go and sit down outside and have a little chat. And it's a great conversation. We got a lot to talk about, and the vibes are there.
So you could travel to Barcelona alone. What do you do? Is it daddy's money?
Yeah, it's daddy's money.
Ah, okay, interesting.
But I'm daddy!
Yeah, no, I need to drink some alcohol.
Yeah, no, me too. me too. My phone beeps and it's our turn to go inside, but this is no regular bar. So I'm like, yo, just follow me. So we enter this pastrami shop. I open the fridge. We go inside and we go through this tunnel that leads us to the bar. We order our drinks and continue talking.
Okay, so if it's not daddy's money, then what do you do?
And so obviously, I just told her, like,
OnlyFans.
You're lying.
I am dead ass serious. My meat is all over the worldwide net.
What? No way. Show me.
Oh, shit. Like, nah, shit. Maybe after a few drinks, you know what I'm saying? And right on time, our drinks showed up, and my shit was radioactive, bro. Like, here's a picture. There are no filters or effects on that shit, and I'm not gonna lie, it tasted exactly how it looked. But regardless, I'm tanking that shit, and I don't know what it is, but that shitty-ass drink was giving me superpowers, bro. That shit had me cooking up the greatest answers to her questions possible, bro.
Okay, so if you had one wish, what would it be?
Damn, that's a good question. Shit. Okay, if I had one wish...
Mm-hmm.
Period cramps.
What?
I would rid the world of period cramps, man. I hate the fact that they exist. Just even thinking about it, like, ooh, they sure do get me riled up, man. I hate them.
Wait. Me too.
Nah, that's crazy. We have so much in common. And from that moment on, I could tell she took down her guard and got comfortable. Cause she started saying shit like,
this guy from my school is obsessed with me and he won't stop snapping me.
Damn. Maybe you should stop responding or some shit.
She snaps a picture of us and captions that shit.
He getting it and you not.
Lol.
Red flag number two. What kind of anime villain origin story are you trying to create for this motherfucker, bro? But I digress. We order the second round of drinks. But as she's sipping that shit, I can hear an accent starting to form in her speech. So I'm like,
yo, where's this accent coming from?
Oh yeah, nah, when I drink, my French accent starts coming out.
And I kid you not, she went from one drink sounding like,
yeah, so my favorite food is pasta,
to drink four dead ass talking like,
actually, I changed my mind. My favorite food is croissant.
Shawty turned from Fine Shit to French shit so fast, I didn't even know who I was on a date with at this point. And then she hits me with a,
I'll be right back.
She grabs my face and hits my ass with a big ass smooch. Now that shit took me aback. I was not expecting it. However, maybe it's just a culture thing. Maybe it's normal for her. So I can't say that it's a real red flag. So she's still in the game. And when she comes back, she's like,
yo, chains, let's go to the beach.
Say less. So we're walking down to the beach and she says some shit like,
so when's the next date?
Oh, it's on Saturday at 6 p.m.
Oh no, I'm not free on Saturday.
Oh, you mean date with you? Yeah, nah, this is the last one. Now I said it as a joke, but she wanted to get all mad and shit and storm off. Now, in this situation, I have two options. Option A is chase after her and beg her to stay. And option B is standing there like an absolute peak male specimen to the point the gravitational pull of my testosterone retrieves her back to the very location she left. And I went with option B. And she came back, bruh.
You're supposed to chase after me. It's like a French thing.
Ah, okay. I'm not French, bruh. So we continue with our walk, and I'm cracking jokes, entertaining her and shit. But honestly, that little stunt shorty pulled back there was red flag number 3 for me, bro. So at this point, I'm not in it for the game of love. I am simply just in it for the love of the game, bruh. So we arrive at Barceloneta Beach. We sit down, and at this point, it's about 1 a.m., but we're still chatting, having a good time. But out of the corner of my eye, I see a man hooded up walking towards us from the darkness. And as bro's approaching, I'm ready for anything. I'm getting ready to take a stand, throw some hands, get in the sand. Should I even go band for band? But if this dude gets any closer, I'd be damned, and this motherfucker hits us with a drive-by compliment.
You have a very beautiful girlfriend.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you?
Damn, do you think he'll find a girlfriend beautiful like me?
Yeah, nah, he seems like a great dude. I'm sure he could find somebody.
What?
I said, yeah, nah, he seems like a nice fella. This girl slaps the shit out of me and says,
you're supposed to say nobody's as beautiful as me.
Bro. In this moment, I had never been so unattracted to a girl in my life. Am I tripping? Or did you just slap the shit out of me? And then she tries to kiss me again, talking about...
I'm sorry.
Nah.
What? No, what?
And even after getting my shit absolutely Will Smith, I'm still trying to be polite. Like, listen, I don't kiss girls on the first date.
You don't kiss girls on the first date.
Yeah.
So, you're telling me, for a living, your occupation is laying down that pipe on film and then proceeding to post it online and you can't kiss me?
Type shit.
And she storms off, bro, but I know exactly what to do to solve this problem, so I stand there like an absolute peak male specimen to conjure up that same gravitational pull, and she's still walking, bro. She just kept walking. She got on the bus. She dipped, bro. She left. Damn. And as the bus disappears in the distance, I hear a motherfucker say,
yo, you from here?
Nah, I'm just visiting.
Aw, shit, okay, us too. You know where the good clubs are at?
Yeah, I mean, I heard all the good ones are, like, right there, bro.
Oh, shit, bet. Okay, we're about to go hit those if you're trying to pull up, bro.
Say less. So these two random-ass dudes I just met and I start heading to the club together, and I'm like,
yo, where you guys from, by the way?
We're from France.
Yo, that's crazy. I just had a date with a French girl.
Oh, no way. How'd it go?
Ah, shit, I think it went pretty good.
That's what's up, yeah. So
why is your cheek so red?
Oh, I mean, she just slapped the shit out of me.
Wait, she what?
Nah, I mean, it's probably just a French thing, you know what I'm saying?
Not a French thing, you just got assaulted.
Aw, shit. So me and the new French homies pull up to the club and it's jumping, bruh. We start taking shots, shooting shots, airballing shots, and then I get a bunch of voice messages from Yvonne talking about,
all the good feelings I had for you are gone. You are a literal piece of shit. Go get AIDS filming for OnlyFans, bitch.
Oh, hell no.
Okay, wait, let me respond, shit.
And I'm drunk as hell trying to say a nice response. Like, you know, like, it's really like, it really is the type of shit where like type shit. Like,
and the French homies take my phone and start cooking her ass in French.
Now, I didn't understand a single word that came out of their mouths, but it sounded like homies just dropped a career-ending diss track on her. And I say that because as soon as she opened it, she blocked my ass, bruh.
Hey, bruh, you know what they say.
What do they say?
Getting blocked's a whole lot better than getting cocked.
What? There is no way they say that.
Yo, three-man alert.
So the two homies start laying down that French wrist, and that shit hits so hard, I just got a free entry, bruh.
Hey, English.
Room for one more? So the six of us absolutely fucked the club up, went out for some 4 a.m. churros, dipped in chocolate, and man, that shit hit harder than Yvonne, bro.
So at the end of the day, even if I didn't end up finding love in Barcelona, there is one thing I did find.
I did find out how Chris Rock felt. God damn.
wake up.
Hey, man.
What? Who are you?
Dreams. We all have them whether you remember them or not. And at one point in our lives, we've all dreamt about the same shit, bro. Like your teeth falling out or running through your school butt booty naked or being reincarnated as a chicken laying eggs. But when you really step back and think about what sleeping is, it's mad weird, bro. Like, imagine an alien crash landed on Earth and saw a bunch of motherfuckers sleeping, like...
Yo, why is everyone dead?
Oh, no, they're not dead, they're just sleeping.
Man, what the fuck is sleeping?
Yeah, so basically they just play dead for 8 hours and live false realities in their heads and shit.
Strange.
Yeah, like, you see this guy? He's probably dreaming about sunshine and rainbows. Get down! Or see this dude? He's having a nightmare for sure. Oh, and this dude? Yo, this dude's definitely fucking, bro. I'm a
caterpillar. Damn, that's crazy.
Now, we all know there's only three questions in life that have yet to be answered. What's the meaning of life? What's Obama's last name? And why do we dream? Dude, it's all your subconscious talking to you, man. You just gotta find the true meaning of each dream, dude.
Bro,
what the actual fuck could this possibly mean, bruh?
You're autistic.
Anyways, the craziest part about dreams is the fact you're the one telling the story, and you're the one listening to that shit. My dumbass still falls for the plot twist every time, bruh. I'll never forget this one dream I had back in grade 6, where me and my two homies were walking. Don't know where, don't know why, but as we're walking, a dude in a big white van pulls up talking about,
"Hey, if you kids come in my van, I'll give you some candy."
Shit. I mean, I'd come in your mouth for the whole bang.
So obviously, we hop in, and the driver looks absolutely cracked out, talking about,
"Hey kids, eat this candy."
And so we unwrap this piece of candy, and it's literally just a razor blade, bro. Like, he didn't even try and hide that shit.
Nah, I think I'll have to pass on this one.
Alright, then eat this piece of candy.
This is a perk 30. You got any Reese's cups?
I got Reese's cups. Here.
Sir, this is just a Glock covered in peanut butter.
Alright, fine, take this.
Shit, okay.
So we eat this unsuspicious looking candy and instantly start tripping balls, bruh. Like, the van is deforming, we're seeing rainbows and shit, and worst of all, we see this big ass grin on the driver's face. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said some crazy shit like,
"Get ready, I'm coming for them cheeks!"
It was more like
"Looks like your private square just went public."
Okay, no, that wasn't it either. It was something more like
"You boys ever had your bun stuffed like a meat mountain from Arby's?"
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what he said, but all I know is if we didn't act fast, we were getting our cheeks snatched up, bro. So Billy's like, "Yo, quick, call your dad." So I'm rushing to start calling my dad, and this is the most dream logic shit ever, cause I don't even got a dad, bruh. And this is where my own brain hit me with the meanest plot twist I never saw coming. Cause as I'm calling my dad, the driver's phone starts ringing, bruh.
Bomba Club.
Now I don't remember the rest, but the fact my own brain hit me with some Star Wars Darth Vader type plot twist, god damn, bruh, that shit was a movie. But still, I probably got my shit touched, so I'm gonna have to leave this as a B-tier dream, bro. B-tier? What the fuck could possibly be worse than a crackhead tickling your pickle, bro? Now those motherfuckers could be their own torture method, bro. These are dreams that just have you stuck in an infinite time loop doing the same shit over and over and over and over in C-tier, bro. Now, lucid dreams. Lucid dreams are deadass just playing life on creative mode, bro. Cause in my long life, I've only had 3 lucid dreams, and every single one of them was lit as fuck, bruh. Now the problem is I can only start lucid dreaming when my original dream is just a little too strange. Like, "Hey, you're cute. Can I get your number?"
"What? You want my number?"
"Yeah."
Yo, I must be lucid dreaming.
Shit, it's so real, bro. I can do anything. I can probably fucking fly.
Alright, Chains, this is not a dream. You're under arrest for battery and assault.
But for real, my first lucid dream started when I was posted up in a basement with Michael Jackson.
Yo, aren't you supposed to be, like, dead and shit?
Oh shit, I must be dreaming.
And so to test the waters, I start spawning in random shit on the spot, and this is the moment I realized the possibilities were endless, bruh. I could do whatever I wanted, and so I spawned in a honey pack, and I spawned in Lola Bunny, and I-
S-tier. Lucid dreams are S-tier, bruh. Wet dreams are too. Now, we got a few popular reoccurring dreams on our hands, like running through your school butt booty naked. Now, back in the day, this dream used to have me scared shitless, bro. I was like, aw, shit, where's my pants? Yo, what's my crush gonna think? What are the boys gonna say? But ever since graduating high school, that dream has me scared even more shitless, bro. Cause now it's like, oh shit, yo, what's the police gonna think?
Let's punch your back!
Bro, what's the judge gonna say, bro?
Shut the fuck up!
Fucking C tier. Teeth falling out, B tier. Random adventures with your homies, A tier, bro. Bebop and Billy have fought bears together, we've been to the nether, we've even fucked around and ran a three man on the Totally Spies cast. Like, these dreams are so lit that when I wake up in my raggedy old lonely ass bed, I'd be trying to go back to sleep to continue the plot, bruh.
Look who came back for that meat mountain, boy.
Oh, hell no.
You better run.
Bruh, I'm trying. Now, trying to run in your dreams, man, this shit really pisses me off, bro. Because I never told anybody this, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school. So when I'm dreaming and I got two hordes of zombies, Michael Myers and fucking Diddy himself chasing after me, tell me why my ass starts running like the fastest kid in the special needs class, bruh. So trying to run in your dreams has got to be C tier, right next to all the common shit like falling, drowning, losing your phone, explosive diarrhea all over your bed. Damn, bruv, shitting your pants, fever dreams, and being butt booty naked around a bunch of minors is C tier. What the hell is D tier, bruv?
Sleep paralysis.
This might be the scariest thing that can possibly exist, bruh. You're telling me at 4 a.m. I could open my eyes, unable to move, while struggling to breathe, and start seeing demon shadow figures while hearing screams in the distance, bruh. Fucking Z-tier, bro, what the fuck? Now I'm grateful I never had to experience that shit, cause the fact that while you're paralyzed, you'll start to see the scariest thing your brain could possibly imagine is beyond me, bro. Knowing me, I'd be there enjoying my beauty sleep, dreaming of me and the boys playing fucking Mario Kart or some shit, and I would open my eyes stunned, unable to move, when slowly a devious creature begins revealing itself out of the closet, casting a shadow over top of me until I can see exactly what it is.
Looks like someone ordered a meat mountain!
Honestly, bro, I'm not scared of much. I'd go skydiving, I'd swim with the sharks, run with the lions, fight a gorilla, beat some ass, and I'd even get my ass eaten. No, I would not. What the fuck? Wait, no. I mean, I'd even get my ass beaten, bro. But if there's one thing that leaves me scared shitless, it's a... But one day when I was 15 years old, my friends and I went to the gas station to get nothing more than a pack of Reese's.
Alright, your total will be $2.50.
Hey boy, step back.
I got this. Put it on my car, bro.
Yeah, oh, okay. I don't
think your machine's working, bro.
Hey kid, I hate to break the news to you, you know what I'm saying, but I think your broke ass needs to get a job.
No!
So I got my first job at Jim Jordan's, and I was grinding, bro. I made every coffee fresh, every customer happy, every toilet squeaky clean. I was putting the potato wedges in the goddamn bag until... I stacked up my first few bands, and I'd never seen this much money in my life. I thought I was rich, bro. So I quit my job. And then the government took some bands, I bought a few Fortnite skins, one ugly ass t-shirt, and before I knew it, I ended up exactly where I started.
Damn, dude, you fucking suck.
Your broke ass still needs to get a job, bro.
Man.
Firstly, my name is Chains, and I would love to work here at this summer camp.
All right, Chains, do you know how to read?
Yes, sir.
Do you speak English?
I do.
Can you count to 10?
Indeed.
Can you ride a bike?
Of course.
Do you like little kids?
Yeah, no.
Well, no. Final answer, no.
All right, you're fired.
Wait, no, I
I love little kids.
All right, you're hired. Now take this helmet and teach those kids how to ride some goddamn bikes.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Really quick, how much do I get paid?
As little as legally possible. Now get to work, buddy.
Hi. My boss threw my ass straight into the deep end, bruh. No training, no nothing. Now, what's crazy is every other worker went to a training camp and was taught exactly what to do and exactly what to say. But one of those dudes quit last minute. They needed somebody, anybody to fill in, and that's the only reason they hired your boy. Anyways, I grab a bike, go outside, and there I see my group of five little five-year-olds waiting for me. And I can see the hopes and dreams of learning to ride a bike glistening in each and every one of their little eyes. And I didn't want to let these little motherfuckers down, so I wasted no time and got straight to work. I listen, it's simple. You get on your bike and you just start pedaling like, look at me go. Right, guys? Shit. Listen, teaching one kid to ride a bike is legwork. You grab the seat, you push them, they pedal, they fall, then you pick them up and start gaslighting their ass like, wow, buddy, you did an amazing job. I've never seen somebody sweep the floor with their face before, man. Next time you can use your hands, though.
Thank you.
But the real problem is having five different kids with five different personalities and skill levels. Because the first kid was named Miles. But he couldn't ride a bike for 5 feet. Then we had a kid named Noah, who didn't know a single thing about how to brake. Parker, who couldn't park for shit. We even had a kid named Noel. But his little ass couldn't stop taking L's in James. But it was just one motherfucker, bro. Like, why is your name plural, bro? Where's the other one at? So my group's out here looking like five chimpanzees on bikes with one bigger chimpanzee supervising them. And I look over at my coworkers' groups, and these motherfuckers are out here biking in perfect unison, weaving through cones. I even seen a little kid doing no hands, bro.
Hey, James, look, no hands.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Hey, James, look, no teeth.
So after painting the pavement like Picasso, we get under the shade for some lunch break. And talking with these kids was such an interesting experience, bro, because since I was their biking instructor, they just assumed I knew everything, bro.
Hey, James, why is the sky blue?
Shit, I mean, it just...
And we even decided that it'd be a Monday today.
Oh, that was definitely Abraham Lincoln.
Why does my sandwich taste like pennies?
That's the taste of blood, my
and
boy.
And what's the biggest number?
Infinity.
How old are you? What time is it?
12:37.
And why do my parents wrestle without any clothes on? Yeah, mine too.
So okay, yeah, time to get back riding bikes, bro. But this time when we got back out to riding bikes, I set up a cone drill. All right, group, lock in. Here we got an easy cone drill. You know what I'm saying? I'll show you how it's done. So you just want to go through the cones just like this. You know what I'm saying? I like to call this drill. Oh, fuck.
Wait, what's it called?
I don't know. I think it's called fuck.
Are you sure?
Fuck.
Yeah, nah, it's definitely called fuck.
Well, that's a weird name.
Okay, who's gonna fuck next?
Yeah, bro. I'm not gonna lie, I dead ass fell. Like, there was no type of biking test in order to get the job. All they asked is if I could ride a bike, and I can. But I did not know we'd be doing NFL drills on these fucking bikes. But needless to say, when the parents came to pick their kids up from the first day of bike camp, they were not impressed.
Hey, there's my little man. What did we learn today?
Oh, you know, we just took the training wheels off. We got started on a few cone drills.
He showed us how to fuck.
Yeah, like, okay, man, no, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is a catastrophic miscommunication.
And James told me I had the best grip.
Hey, yo, I'm the handlebars, brother. You got his
James
best
says
fight.
I have so much potential for a kid my age.
Okay, yeah, that sounds bad. That sounds really bad.
And
why
James
does all this shit sound
like
so bad?
Me better without any teeth.
I'm just trying to cheer him up,
he taught
man.
Us to always use protection before riding.
Okay, that's enough.
He just stopped.
None of them came back, bro.
So I got a new group, and the best part about this new group of kids is that they were already level 4. Meaning we'd all just bike to the park, eat lunch, and then bike back.
Damn, bro, that sounds easy as fuck. Surely this couldn't go any worse than your first group, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it gets worse. It gets so much worse. So for this little journey to the park, I'll pair up with my coworker, Natalie. So Natalie's in the front, and we got 10 kids in the middle. We'll call them Liam, Ava, Milo, Zoe, Tucker, Cornelius, Jackson, Bradley, Quandale Dingle Jr. III, and Riley, which is the only name you'll need to remember. So I count up the kids so we don't leave any behind, and as expected, I count 10. So we take off on our journey to the park, and all these kids were really good at riding, you know. Out of the whole group, we only had one little fall.
But I just scraped my knee, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even cry or anything, bro. It wasn't even that bad. And before I knew it, we made it to the park. We all put our bikes down. Natalie and I ate our lunch while the 10 kids ran around and played. Liam and Tucker were playing tag. Zoe and Ava were picking flowers. Meatloaf and Quandale were eating cockroaches. Riley and Cornelius were in the bushes picking berries. And Jackson and Bradley were wrestling. And after a peaceful 45 minutes passed by, Natalie and I round everyone up to get back in line like we started. I count them up so we don't forget anyone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And we head back to camp. And after a very successful trip, the parents pick their children up one by one until Riley's very sweet mom shows up with a pack of 20 Jimbits to thank me for my great work taking care of her child. Hey there, I just wanted to say I appreciate you so much for taking care of Riley today.
Yo, what? Thank you so much. You really didn't have to.
No, it's my pleasure, truly. Oh,
okay, well, thank you so much.
where's my little guy?
Oh, he's right here.
My heart drops straight to my stomach, bro. And as I'm looking around for Riley, I'm trying to recall the ride home, and I genuinely just don't remember seeing Riley at all. And that's when I remember I last saw Riley playing in the bushes.
And this is where my heart goes back from my stomach and drops down to my testicles, bruh.
To this day, my heart has never dropped so hard. This woman trusted me with her son, and I don't know where the fuck he is.
So, where is he?
Man, that right there is a great question.
What do you mean that's a great question?
You know, all the greatest questions in the world make you think, don't they?
Yes.
Right, and as you ask me this question, I really get to thinking, you know, like, I really get to rack in my brain, and well, to be quite frank, well, I'm stumped.
Okay, what do you mean you're stumped?
I don't know where Riley is.
What do you mean you don't know where Riley is?
Okay, yeah, let's just put it like this. Do you know where Riley is?
No.
Yeah, not me either.
Ice cream.
Holy fuck, he's right there. Oh my god. Fuck, I knew it. I knew it. Like, fuck.
I thought
oh my
this
god,
dumbass
right
lost you.
I knew it the whole time. He's right there. It's April Fool's.
Give me
yeah,
these.
Take him. Oh my god. Jesus. God bless America.
And that was genuinely the day I realized
I can't work a fucking job. I'm not built for that shit, bro. I gotta start a Stickman YouTube channel or some shit.
Billy is one of my closest homies, and we've been friends ever since we were little kids, and for as long as I can remember,
Billy's been a dumbass, bro. I'm talking, he's slightly restarted, you know what I mean? And everyone knows Billy for just two things. Always making the absolute worst decision possible,
and always having the best stories, bro.
Like, statistically, this motherfucker should have died 61 different times already, bro.
Nah, I got plot armor, bro.
Bro, no you don't.
I do.
Man, shut the fuck.
Hey! What the fuck?
Now, this story takes place on February 14th, 2025, Valentine's Day. And I'm gonna be so honest, this story is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life, bro. So, can you swear to them that is real?
It is.
Say you swear.
I swear, bro.
On everything you love, the Valentine's story happened, bro.
On everything I love, the Valentine's story really happened.
It was a fine Valentine's Day night. Bob, Billy, and I were awesome single dudes, except Billy had a little situation, you know. He was talking to a girl named Elise, and they would hang out from time to time, but it was a new thing, so they weren't really dating, and they were definitely not Valentine. Now, I don't know much about Elise, but just 2 weeks prior, Billy was telling me about how he met some cute girl. They would text, they would hang out, but for whatever reason, their conversations would always be some like,
hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I am a little bit stressed because I'm moving and everything.
Oh yeah, moving sucks. How about you come over, I relieve all your stress type shit.
Billy, I really like you.
I like you too, Elise,
but I think you might be a whore.
Wait, what?
Like, you're most likely a bop.
Okay, wait, I mean,
you're
like,
definitely a fuckboy.
Okay, chill now. I've never fucked a boy in my life.
So keeping that in mind, we were all single, and this Valentine's happened to land on a Friday, and because of this,
we going to the club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the plan was simple. We go to the drink store to get something to pregame, go back to my house, and then hit the club, fall in love, and live happily ever after. Now the problem was, Billy was stuck working a 9.5-hour shift until 10 p.m. Now he was the pizza delivery guy for a chain we'll call
Big Pizza.
So he's doing his thing, delivering those Valentine's pizzas. Well, me and Bob decide that we would go get the drinks now and meet Billy back at the crib once he's off work. So we hop in the car, we get to the drink store, and at this point it's 9:30 p.m. And so Bob calls Billy to ask what he wants. No answer. I call him. No answer. We both text him.
Nothing. Now this was strange, because Billy usually responds while he's working, but we shrug it off. We go inside the store and get Billy his go-to bottle.
Tennessee.
So we go back to my house and get to my room at about 10 p.m. and still no word from Billy. So we're waiting for a good 20 minutes and then I get a text message from Billy. The craziest shit ever just happened. So I'm like, what happened? Bro, it's so crazy, I need to tell you in person. So Billy whips it over to my house, kicks down the door, and instantly starts breaking down the craziest plot I've ever heard, bruh.
Yo, listen, this story takes place 1 hour ago.
It was 9:30 p.m. and Billy was finishing up a long 9.5 hour shift with his very last delivery of the night, but the problem was his phone was on 1% and he didn't even have a charger. So Billy locks in and memorizes all the directions to get there right before his phone dies. So from one side of the city, Billy goes 100% straight off the dome to the other side of the city for his last delivery on this fine Valentine's Day night. Billy hops out the car, walks up to the house, knocks, and they open the door.
Hey man, happy Valentine's Day.
Aw, thank you. Thank you so much, but I didn't order a pizza.
Oh shit, are you sure?
Gerald, did we order a pizza?
Fuck no.
Yeah, no, we didn't order a pizza.
I don't know. It says a meat lover's pizza for 3516.
Aw, honey, no, this is 3416. 3516 is all the way around the back of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay, thank you. Have a good night.
So Billy's walking for a good 8 minutes to get to the back of the cul-de-sac where at last he finds 3516. He walks up to the door, knocks, and a fine looking woman in her 40s opens the door holding a vape, and Billy sees a little potential here.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, man.
Aw, thank you.
Of course, beautiful. How's your Valentine's Day going?
You know, it's okay.
Why's this okay? You ain't got no special plans?
Well, honestly, my husband's out drinking at the bar, so... Bro, this was the perfect situation for Billy, bro. There's so many things he could say to make a move right here, and out of the infinite combinations of words he could put together, he says...
Well... A man's got a drink, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, anyways, here you go. Keep the change. Have a good one.
Billy fucking sold, bruh.
He missed a wide open layup, and as he turns around to head back to his car in shame, Billy gets an idea. A genius idea, if I do say so myself. So Billy turns back around, walks back up to the door, and knocks again. Hey, what's up?
Hey, so, my car, like the pizza car, is on the other side of the cul-de-sac, so if there's any way I could cut through, it would save me like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, of course, come in. And this motherfucker just got his own rebound off the backboard, bro, but he only has 60 seconds on the shot clock to make a move, and so he starts breaking down that professional barrier.
So, what's your name?
My name's Angelina. What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Wow, you have a very beautiful name.
And you have a very beautiful smile.
Ah, thank you.
Holy fucking shit, he was cooking, but they had made it to the basement, meaning he only has 30 seconds left before he's back to the cold, lonely outside world. So Billy cooks up yet another genius play.
Angelina, I really hate to ask, but is there any way I could charge my phone real quick? Like, I just need to get it to like 5%.
Of course, honey, sit down. It's no worries at all.
This motherfucker, Billy.
Did it again, bro. Now, I don't know if it's because she just wanted some human connection on his Valentine's night or she was genuinely just being nice, but this motherfucker's now in a position where he's posted up on this woman's couch in her basement at 10 p.m. on a Valentine's night.
Yo, what flavor is that?
Oh, it's mango ice. It's my favorite.
Damn. You think I could take a hit?
Only if I could hit chores.
Oh, shit. I bet.
So as these two fiends are bonding over a little nicotine addiction, Billy's like...
So you said your husband went up to the bar?
Yeah, yeah, he did. To be honest, it kind of hurts, because, like, it just sucks to be alone on Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel you. I don't go to Valentine either. Type shit.
Now, at this very moment, Billy's about to shoot a shot farther than a three-pointer. Farther than a half-court, full-court football field. This was a blindfolded shot from Mars by a six-year-old kid with Down syndrome, bruh.
I mean, shit. We could be Valentine's tonight.
Oh, that's so sweet, but my daughter's upstairs.
Ah, shit, yeah. I get it, but, like, this couch low-key spacious, though.
I mean, it's not that spacious. Billy, you're funny. Now, at this moment, Billy's 0 for 3 with these shots. I mean, the defense line was tough. She's got a whole husband and a daughter who's just posted upstairs, probably waiting for that fucking pizza. But to be fair, Billy was still on the court, but his phone was already at a good 3% charge, so he needs a game-winning shot right now, and so he reaches deep into his bag. I'm talking middle school years. He pulls out a shot I never thought I would see in a big 2025.
This flavor's fire. Yo, let me show you a new trick.
Yeah? What is it?
Alright, so it's called a transfer. Basically, me and you just transfer the smoke.
Okay, teach me.
You gotta come closer though, alright?
This motherfucker Billy swished the shot, bro, against all odds. Just 15 minutes ago, he was some bum delivering her Big Caesar's pizza. All of a sudden, now she's hot and ready, bruh. And so Billy's making out with some random dude's wife for a good 5 minutes. Then she's like... Is your phone charged?
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, let me charge everything.
Of course, honey, it's my pleasure.
All right, I'm gonna text you.
Okay, drive safe. And Billy leaves this married mother's house after making out with her as the fucking pizza delivery guy. Bro, what the fuck? Billy, are you dead ass?
I swear to God.
Bro, that story is fucking insane.
I mean, shit. I'm not dumb, bro.
Cause if there's one thing that Big Caesar's taught Billy, it was how to deliver, bro. So he takes the receipt, boom, takes her number down and texts her. So he drives back to Big Caesar's, goes in, clocks out, hops in a car, drives home, goes inside, showers up, gets out the shower to check his phone. No response.
Damn.
So Billy tries calling her straight to voicemail. He changes the no caller ID and calls again, and it rings, meaning... She blocked his ass, bro, and I have no clue why she would do such a thing. I mean, like, yeah, she has a husband and like a kid and probably another boyfriend on the side, but damn, say something. And that's the moment when he gets a Snapchat notification. Elise has added you as a friend. Now, Elise is the girl he's been talking to on Snapchat, so why would she even have him unadded in the first place? So Billy's like,
you unadded me?
And she just hits him back with a WID.
Shit, I just got off work. What you doing?
Oh, I'm just chilling at home. And then there's a brief pause. Do you know whose house you were just in?
Do I know whose house I was just in? I've been to her house before. She doesn't even live close to...
Wait. And Billy starts piecing everything together. How Elise was moving houses. All the boxes laid out in that woman's house. How Elise's family loved eating Big Caesars. And the woman's daughter... being upstairs the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
Billy hooked up with his girl's mom. Now, we have no clue what her mom told her, because it makes the most sense that she said something along the lines of,
hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Elise, I think he was flirting with me. Because let's be honest, what is the other option, bruh?
Hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just cheated on your father with the Big Caesar's pizza delivery guy who actually just happens to be your age. So Billy's texting Elise, trying to play it cool, like,
oh, I had no clue that was your house. What are the chances?
And she just says,
yeah. I get my good looks from my mom.
And then she blocked him again, bro. Cause after telling her 100 times that he's not a hoe, he's not a bop, he's not a fuckboy.
I accidentally hooked up with her mom, bro.
Billy. You know I gotta make a video about this, right?
Yeah, I know.
Man, growing up, I was a great kid. I was a good kid. Man, growing up, I was a kid, bro. And as a kid, you hit a certain age where your own parents become your number one op. Like,
hey mom, can I go to this girl's house?
No.
Hey mom, can I sleep over at Billy's crib?
No.
Hey mom, can I go do crack under the bridge with my new friend Jorge? Hey.
Hell no.
Come on, all my friends are allowed to.
Yeah.
Okay, well if all your friends jumped off a cliff, you're not just gonna...
Now, to be fair, my mom wasn't the strictest parent out there. I mean, I've seen motherfuckers get the belt for speaking too loud, speaking too quiet, bro, for speaking at all. Like, one time, me and my friend wanted to have a sleepover, so homie went inside to go ask his mom, and he came out looking like he got a whooping from Prime Goku, bro.
Yo, what the fuck happened back there, man?
She said no to me, but... I think if you asked her, she would say yes.
Bro, are you fucking insane? I'm not asking her shit.
Like, I really can't complain, because some of my friends' parents were so strict, they had a fun limit, bro.
Yo, George, we're gonna hoop after school. You wanna pull up?
Damn, dude, I'd love to, but, man, I watched a movie yesterday.
Ah, okay. So do you want to play basketball?
Dude, I want to, but my fun meter's maxed out, man. My mom won't let me leave the house till Monday.
Holy shit, fun meter maxed out for a week off a movie? Yo, what's this movie, bro?
Yeah, what? Yeah, no, it was good, man. It's called the VeggieTale movie.
Yo, George,
I feel bad for you, bro. Because don't get me wrong, I've seen a lot of kids with super strict parents turn out to be straight A students, go to good colleges, stay with a good crowd of people. But with that being said, a lot of these kids whose parents were too strict to let them watch fucking SpongeBob, they end up going to college and catching Krusty Krabs after letting a dude named Patrick explore their bikini bottom, bro. Nah, but for real, my mom was far from one of those parents. I mean, she was reasonable, but the thing was, all my friends were a year older than me. Now, mentally, we were all dumb as shit. But when you hit that 12, 13, 14-year-old age, that 1 year is the biggest difference, bro. Like, us doing shit together just didn't look right.
Yo, Bob, can you pass the zot? Yo, Billy, let me hit that.
Yo, pass me that shit, cuz.
And cuz of this, I wasn't allowed to do a lot of the shit that my friends were allowed to do. Like, these boys could stay up past 10:30 p.m. on a weekend. I could not. They could have a sleepover on a weeknight. I could not. They could all go to a girl's house without having to call her goddamn parents. I could not, bro.
Cause have you ever pulled up to a function? Motherfuckers are drinking. Motherfuckers are doing drugs. And you gotta ask the host to speak to her parents?
Hey, Kelly. Hey, killer party you got here. By any chance, can my mom talk to your mom so I can stay and, like, turn up and shit?
Oh, shit.
And when you're 12 and all your friends can do shit that you can't do, you're left with just two options. You can either be a good kid, follow the rules, do your homework, eat your broccoli, or you could be a bad kid, break the rules, fuck your homework, and smoke that broccoli. And boy, did I make the wrong decision.
I remember the first time my mom caught me lying was back when I was in grade 7. It was just an average Saturday posted up at Billy's crib.
Yo, y'all boys know Rosa?
Yeah, I know Rosa. What's up?
Bro, she's throwing a birthday party at her crib tonight.
Aw, shit, man. We about to get freaky deaky on
these hoes.
Boy,
I'm about to get so drunk I forget how to speak.
Yo, on God, bro. Dead ass. That's facts. For real.
Hey, Mom. I'm just calling to remind you how much I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Chains.
What do you want?
So, me and my closest friends got invited to a small little get-together at my friend Rose's house. Can I go, please?
Let me talk to her parents.
Okay, now, I was actually friends with Rosa, but she was 2 years older than me. So, I swallowed my pride and text Rosa some along the lines of,
"Hey, Rosa, my mom wants to talk to your mom before I can come."
And she's like,
"Aw, baby boy needs permission.
Fuck."
And then she sends me her mom's number.
So, I connect my mom with Rosa's mom. My mom gives me the green light, but says, "You have to be home at 10:30 p.m. sharp."
Say no more, Mom.
So, me and my homies start getting fresh.
We're all up in Billy's dad's expensive cologne collection. I take the coolest looking bottle, little spray here, little spray there.
Had me smelling like Tom Ford, still looking like Thomas the Tank Engine, but after looking as fresh as possible, we head to Rosa's crib.
So we hop on the bus, hop off the bus, walk up to her house, knock, and the birthday girl opens the door.
Happy birthday!
Hey, Billy, Bob, and Chains, I was waiting for you guys.
Happy birthday, Rosa.
Oh, damn, Chains, you smell good.
Appreciate it, that's that Thomas Fordinson, you know what I mean?
So Bob, Billy, and I go inside and we realize the gravity of this situation.
Oh, shit.
God damn.
Rosa invited like 10 of her girlfriends and like 2 of her cousins, bro. We were completely outnumbered in the greatest way possible, bro. As I'm just doing some quick math on the ratio, there's a knock on the door. Rosa opens it and it's Dennis holding a bottle of vodka. Now, we're friends with Dennis. Rosa's friends with Dennis. But to put it simply, Dennis was a bad kid, bro. This motherfucker was living life with no precaution, no regrets, no morals, but to be fair, he was fun as fuck, bro, because when Dennis pulled up, the party got lit, bro. We were taking shots, dancing, playing beer pong, taking more shots. We were having a marvelous time, and I was drunk, okay? Not too drunk, but not just tipsy. I had hit the perfect sweet spot of drunk. I got all the stat boosts of being funnier, more confident, more smiley, but I still had full control of my body, so I start applying that pressure, bruh.
Hey, don't y'all both have ugly boyfriends?
No, what the fuck?
No.
Shit.
Y'all want one?
Damn, you smell good though.
Appreciate it. I showered this week. I don't remember what I actually said, but all I know is that in grade 7, cologne was overpowered, bro, because nobody was smelling good. And if they tried, they would just smell like Axe, dog. So I'm over here combining the powers of Tom Ford with the confidence of Smirnoff. Had me feeling like I'm him, bro.
So how y'all feeling?
I'm honestly feeling amazing. How you feel?
Shit, I'm feeling good. Just a little, you know,
just a little bit tired.
I vividly remember sitting on that couch with these two girls, never wanting this moment to end, bruh.
But when I look up, I see one girl crying, one girl looking for something, Dennis helping her look, and Billy and Bob are all ready to dip. So I hop off the couch for a second, like, yo, what's going on?
Yo, so Dennis just finessed like three of these girls' vapes, and we're not trying to get blamed, so we're about to dip.
Bruh, for real?
Yeah, you coming?
Bro, but like, bro, I'm not ready to leave yet.
Yeah, nah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Just text us when you leave, bro.
Ah, shit. All right, peace, bro.
Peace out, dog.
So Bob and Billy dip. I see Dennis's ass sneak out through the back door. And at this point, I have no clue how long I've been here, bro. But the party had died down to essentially just the girls who are gonna sleep over. And me, bro.
So I go to check what time it is on my phone.
And it's 10:15, bro. My curfew's 10:30 and I'm a 30-minute bus ride from home. But if we're keeping it a buck right now, I don't even want to go home, bro. I made it to the girls' sleepover and I didn't even have to ride the group dildo or nothing. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I text my mom and I lied, bro. While Billy and I are almost at Billy's house, can I sleep over at his house, please?
Then I threw my phone away, hopped back on the couch, and went right back to my happy place.
So I'm posted up with these two laughing, cracking jokes when Rosa walks up like, yo, Chains, where'd your friends go?
They abandoned me, Rosa. They left me here stranded with no way home.
Shit, I mean, you could just stay here if you want.
Say, you lied, so...
Appreciate it.
And eventually, all the girls gave up on trying to find their vapes. They all gathered around to play truth or dare and die.
Prayed for times like this, bro. I was deep in enemy lines and I didn't want it any other way until
one of the girls sees my phone on the ground and is like, Chains, I think someone's calling you.
So she tosses me my phone. I check it. And I got 20 missed calls from fucking everyone in my contacts, bro.
So I'm trying to be strategic with it to find out what's going on. I call Billy first.
Yo, what's happening?
Bro, so your mom called my mom and asked if you were here yet at my house. And my mom told your mom that you're not even here, bro.
Aw, shit. What do I do?
Bro, I don't know.
And everyone knows when you get caught in a lie, you should just fess up, tell the truth, and apologize.
But I doubled down, bro. So I called my mom and I'm like,
hey, mom, we're almost at Billy's house. We just missed our second bus.
Where are you?
I'm at Stickman Middle School bus stop. You know, like, we're super close. We're just waiting for the bus to come.
I'm picking you up right now.
Fuck me, bruh. Now, not only is she expecting all three of us to be together at this bus stop, shit, not a single one of us is there, bro.
To put this in perspective, my house is right here, Billy's crib is right here, and Rosa's crib is all the way over here, bruh, and Stickman Middle's somewhere near the middle.
And so I pull up the bus app on my phone and see the next bus is coming in 2 minutes. And with all that adrenaline pumping through my veins, I jump up out the couch, steal a piece of gum, and haul absolute ass to the bus stop, bruh.
I get there right on time, hop on the bus, and I call Billy.
Yo, dog, I think I'm cooked. I told her I'm at Stickman Middle with you guys.
Dude, why the fuck would you do that?
Shit, I don't know. I'm busing there right now.
Bro, if she sees you there without us, you're cooked beyond belief.
I know, bro.
Yo, we're on our way.
So Bob and Billy hop on scooters and start hill-bombing their way down to the bus stop to save my ass, and this shit was a race to get to the bus stop before my mom does, because if she catches me there alone, I'm cooked. If she catches Bob and Billy there before me, I'm cooked. If she gets there before anyone, I'm fucking done, bruh.
I'm on the bus just praying, and when I finally get to the bus stop at Stickman Middle, I get out and take a deep breath because my mom's not here.
But I'm shitting my pants because neither is Bob or Billy.
And so I'm calling them, no answer. And I look down the road, I see some headlights. And this was not a busy street, bruh.
And as the car is getting closer and closer, I can feel the anger radiating from the whip. I can almost hear the belt making contact with my cheeks.
And the car pulls up, and it's just some random dude driving by.
Yo!
These motherfuckers, Bob and Billy, come flying down the hill. They get to the bus stop, throw their scooters in the bush, and pretend like we've been waiting here for an hour.
Oh, gee Wilkers, man. I can't believe we missed this bus, dude.
Billy, pray for me, bro. Get in the car.
I get in my mom's car. I'm stone fucking sober. My heart is pounding.
Why did you lie to me?
Well, I just...
I honestly wanted to spend more time at my friend's house because we were just having fun. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, Chains.
That shit hurt way more than any punishment ever would have, bro. So even though Bob and Billy clutched up for me, I still got grounded, bro. But I did learn a valuable lesson. Just tell the truth, bro. It makes everything easier.
Being absolutely faded in math class is one thing, but pulling up to school while you're hammered, wasted, absolutely plastered is simply a different ball game. Cause there's lots of people who can properly utilize that Mary Jane on a daily basis. For example, tattoo artists. In fact, I feel like majority of tattoo artists would say, it helps me work better, dude. And I would happily trust this man to do his best work knowing he's baked as shit. However, if this dude was wasted, it's a little bit of a different story. Alrighty, dude. All done. Yo, I asked for a rose, bro. And because of this reason, you would truly have to be a dumbass to go to school drunk. Chains, but the title of the video says going to school drunk. I did, bro. I went to school drunk. But listen, it was no ordinary day at school. No. In fact, I didn't even go in the day at all. I went drunk to the school dance. Meaning this story takes place when the boys and I were in grade 11. It was a Thursday night, the night of winter ball. And as the boys and I were getting ready, you know, looking like some distinguished young gentleman, I had realized, damn, none of us have any girls to take to the dance. Fuck, you're right. That means we're gonna have to ask a girl to dance, bro. What? You mean like talk to them? Yeah, if only we knew someone with a bigger roster than a cheerleading team. Someone with more hoes than a shed. Someone who pulls more tens than EDP.
It's Bob!
So me and Billy started analyzing Bob. Like how does he pull so many girls, bro? Is it the jawline? I don't know. What about the silky, smooth, clear skin? Maybe. Or is it those succulent, luscious, kissable lips?
It's the glasses!
Yeah, the glasses, yeah. So we stole Bob's entire flow in the hopes this would put an end to my drought of bitches. So we check ourselves out in the mirror and then we hop into Billy's whip. We throw on some Rihanna to get us hyped, and before we knew it, we had arrived at school. Now to really paint the picture, it was a Thursday at 8 p.m. and on this Thursday at 8 p.m. Billy pops his trunk to pull out two bottles of vodka. Now if you were unaware, it was currently a Thursday at 8 p.m. on a school night, and we were headed into our school. Now logically, I should have simply denied the alcohol, but I'ma keep it a buck. The whole idea of walking up to a girl and asking her to dance was really giving me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, my palms were sweaty, my knees were weak, and arms were heavy, so I took a big old chug of that liquid courage in order to ease the nerves a little bit. And shit, Billy must have been feeling the same way, because Billy was down in that shit like it was water. And right after we consumed enough alcohol to kill a baby elephant, I got a notification on my phone. Oh shit, I got an email. Oh, it's from the school. It says, if you come to the winter ball under the influence of alcohol or any drug, you will face suspension and will lose your right to walk across the stage for graduation.
Fuck.
Okay, listen, if we can get into the dance before this shit hits, we're chilling. Alright, we got this. So we walk into the school looking fresh as hell, but then I notice a fat line of students, and this line led to a security check to get into the dance.
Fuck, that's not good.
Nah, we're chilling. I still don't even feel anything. What about you?
Yeah, same. We're good.
And just as we came to the consensus that we were good, the principal starts walking down the line in our direction.
Fuck, act cool. Act cool. We're good. Act cool.
That was close.
You three, over here.
Shit, fuck, shit.
Do you guys know why I called you over here?
Nah. Nope.
I smelled alcohol the moment I walked past you three. Now, I don't know if it was one of you or all of you, but you know the consequences of showing up under the influence, right?
Yeah, yep. we do.
And tell me, is it or is it not suspicious that all three of you guys showed up with glasses on?
Nah, we just thought it looked suspicious. Really?
Mm-mm. Take them off.
Damn.
Yes, right. Sir.
And although I downed a sizable amount of vodka, it still hadn't kicked in yet.
Now, I didn't want to do this to you guys, but look at my finger.
This motherfucker starts waving around his magic finger in Billy's face with a flashlight to somehow see if he's drunk. Now, I don't know what the plan was, but I was fucking scared.
Okay. He's not bad. Oh, okay. He's good. Now let's see here.
And just as this motherfucker puts his finger in my face, that vodka hits, bro. I'm using all the strength I got to keep my balance while I'm getting blinded by this flashlight.
Let me try that again. Huh. I got a little feeling you guys drank, but it hasn't fully kicked in yet. I'll check up on you in a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So we get to security and they make sure to pat us down. A little bit too good, but before we knew it, we were at the dance. And just like that, I saw my opportunity and I put that liquid courage to use. And you know, I'm very articulate when it comes to words, so I ask, hi, how are you? Oh, hey, I'm good. So I wanted to ask you, you know, we're at the dance, and I saw you, so I walked over here. Here we are, you know what I mean? So, like, do you want to dance? Yeah, sure. It had worked. My plan had finally worked. And just as I was about to feel the female touch I'd been deprived of for all these years, I see Mr. Principal walking in my direction with his finger ready and his flashlight in hand. So I just haul ass, and I don't stop hauling ass until I'm off school grounds. So the moral of the story is, don't go to school drunk, bro.
Oh, yo. Shit.
Ooh.
Damn. That's why you don't mess with me. Yo, I'm Jordan Johnson.
Mr. Johnson. Why did you beat Kyle's ass?
Mr. Principal, I never touched Kyle. In fact, I've never seen this kid my entire life.
How do you presume he received a concussion, 2 broken ribs, a black eye, a broken nose, and a dislocated shoulder?
I mean, he must have fallen down the stairs or something.
Okay, Mr. Johnson. How do you explain this?
That's why you don't mess with me. I'm Jordan Johnson. But I mean, you got the wrong Jordan Johnson.
Then, what happened to your knuckles there?
Shit, these ain't even my knuckles.
Listen, I am not one to condone violence. But I'm not gonna lie, school fights are a major part of the high school experience. I mean, there's something about a good old school brawl that just boosts students' morale.
Like, there is nothing that gets you through the rest of the day like some kid getting his ass beat in front of the entire school. And truthfully, it's just a community building experience because it gives everyone something to talk about.
Yo, did you see the fight?
Yeah, bro. Kyle got his shit rocked.
Wait, are you guys talking about the fight?
Yeah, bro.
Man, Kyle got fucked up, dude.
Overall, in school fights, everyone wins. Like, the fighter gets some respect, and the crowd gets some entertainment. It's a win-win.
What about me?
But tell me why, when a fight breaks out, the entire school will be recording, but not one person can get a good video. It's like when a fight breaks out, every motherfucker recording starts having severe hand spasms. I mean, as the person recording the fight, you literally have one job. To record the fight.
Damn, I just missed it. What happened?
Oh, well, lucky for you, I recorded the entire thing from start to finish on my brand new Samsung. Check it out. Did anyone else record the fight?
Oh, shit, yeah, I did on my brand new iPhone 14 that actually records in 4K.
Okay, bet.
Ooh.
Damn.
Let's go, JJ.
That's why you don't mess with me. But bro, this is just a video of your face for 8 minutes straight. And watching some of these fights are funny as hell. Because some motherfuckers will come in swinging like KSI. Some motherfuckers are out here thinking they're Daniel LaRusso. And some motherfuckers should just not be fighting. Which is honestly the best part, because where else could you catch a 6'5", 250-pound big body scrapping some 5'2 nerd? Like, the UFC would never let that shit slide. Plus, you get to watch it all for free. But me personally, I've never gotten into a school fight. But don't get me wrong, if someone wanted to catch these hands, I could hit him with the little knuckle sandwich, if you know what I mean. But truth be told, I could never lose a fight. Not because I know how to fight, but because for Bob, shit was on sight. And trust me, you don't fuck with Bob. Bob's got a better record than Floyd Mayweather. And I even heard one time he got into a little altercation with Mike Tyson. All I'ma say is, he dealt with him. But with that being said, we all know that one kid in school who was born to simply beat people's ass. Like, this dude's life purpose was to run people's fade. And of course, I had someone like this at my school. He was the type of dude who had nothing to lose, so he would instigate a fight wherever he could. We'll just call him Jordan. And honestly, he was holding a solid record. I mean, he was probably 12-0. But one day, Jordan picked on the wrong kid. Hey nerd, take off those stupid glasses. And Bob was a man of little words, so Jordan's buffoonery did not faze him. Hey nerd, I said take off those stupid glasses. Hey, stop ignoring me. And without saying a word, Bob just ended Jordan's whole career. And ever since that day, nobody messed with Bob. That's why you don't mess with me. Yo, I'm Jordan Johnson.
Bro, in life, there's so many things you can cheat on. Like, you can cheat on your diet. You can cheat on your girlfriend. You can cheat on your barber. You can cheat on your girlfriend with your barber. Shit, you can even cheat on your taxes. So compared to everything else, cheating on a little math test is not that bad. Like, compared to your taxes, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit.
Hey, we've all cheated on our barber, but you cannot cheat on this math test.
Oh, shit. Damn, bro. I know we've all cheated on our girl, but you cheated on me, dog.
Oh, shit.
Babe, I know we cheated on our taxes, but you cheated on me?
Oh, shit.
Listen, in our entire lifespan, we've all cheated on something. Whether it's a game of Uno, your girlfriend, or your other girlfriend, it's usually not worth it. Because congratulations, bro, you won the game of Uno, but now you have to look yourself in the mirror knowing you're a cheater and a liar that has three Uno cards up his ass. But when it comes to school tests, cheating is 100% worth it, bro. And I'm not condoning cheating at all, but let's just think about this logically. Like, why are we at school in the first place? We're at school to learn things and skills that we can use in real life. Now, are we really using trigonometry in real life? Well, effectively, this depends on what career.
Hell nah, bro. It was a rhetorical question. We are not using trigonometry,
but you know what we will use? Creative thinking, communication, social awareness, logic and reasoning, and most definitely our fucking phones. All five of which are strongly developed through the act of cheating on a school test. And on top of becoming a better human, better grades, it's the ultimate win-win. Your teacher feels like they did a good job teaching, your parents think they didn't raise a dumbass, and if you're good enough at cheating, you might just fuck around and get into Harvard. But once again, I am not condoning cheating, you know, just throwing that out there, you know, but yeah, as I was saying, you shouldn't cheat, right? Like, it's bad. Cheating is not good, but you do know what they say. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Facts!
Yeah. Wait, no. What? So if cheating in school is so valid, why doesn't everyone do it? And that's because if you get caught, let me tell you, bro. This story takes place in grade 9 when me, Bob, and Billy were some straight freshmen, bro. And coming into high school, you get your shit absolutely clapped by double the workload. But lucky for me, Bob and Billy were both in my math class, which meant we had triple the studying power.
But we also had triple the fucking around power, and we used that shit to its maximum capacity, bro. But you know what they say, the more you fuck around, the more you find out. And when we got our first test back, shit, we found out. We found out we're a bunch of dumbasses who were about to fail grade 9 math, and we couldn't let that shit happen. So for the next test, we studied extremely hard. Off George's math test during the test. I mean, we were cheating with maximum efficiency. Like, we had a whole assembly line where Bob would look at George's test, throw up the number, and Billy would pass it along. And all of a sudden, our grades are making the meanest comeback Mr. Matheson had ever seen. I mean, life was great. We went to school, cheated, played some Fortnite, succeeded, browsing history, deleted, and then repeated. I mean, we were just living life with no worries until...
the polynomials test.
I walked into this test thinking, psh, I know what a polygon is, I should be chilling. And when the teacher handed out the test, I was bewildered to see all these fucking letters on my test. Look, like, is this math class or English, bruh?
Yeah, I think I got the wrong sheet.
Huh? No, yeah, no, that's the right test.
What's the deal with this?
I mean, that's just polynomials.
Dog, I can name every single polygon, but who the fuck wrote Elon Musk's son name on my goddamn math question?
Yeah, chains. That's what we call a variable. It's called a variable.
Yeah, I know. I know that. And I knew it before you said it, too. Cause we learned about it in class.
Yeah, right. Right, right.
Now, this would have been extremely bad if we didn't have the ultimate method we like to call George. Because George was one of those dudes who loved studying. Like, he'd wake up and go to school, then come home and study till he dropped, bro. Like, if you kidnapped George's whole family and told him you'd only give them back if he answered this equation, this motherfucker would just be happy he got more homework, bro. And because of this, we had a little deal going with George. If he let us cheat off his math test, we would teach him how to be a normal dude. We were teaching this kid how to dap someone up, how to use slang, and all I'ma say is, this motherfucker should have just stuck to math, bro. Yo, Chains, sauce me a bite, big dog.
I got you.
Shit, Chains, you just busted in my throat, gang.
Hey, yo.
George, what you just said right there sounded gay as hell. Type shit.
No.
So as I was saying, I'm looking at this math test with more letters than numbers, and it would have been raps for me if it wasn't for the George method. So I'm looking at Billy, Billy's looking at Bob, and Bob's looking at George's test, and we're absolutely flying through this polynomials test. And about halfway through, I look up to get the next answer, and I get jump scared by Mr. Matheson mean mugging my shit. And you can see it in his eyes. He knew exactly what was going down, and he took me, Billy and Bob's tests and took us to the hallway.
What do you guys think you're doing?
Polygon.
I'm pretty sure it's like Paul.
Why did I see you three throwing up your fingers during our test?
Well, you see, Mr. Matheson, we're gang affiliated.
No, bro, what? What the fuck?
All right, you three, cut the shit. I caught you cheating. All three of you are getting zeros on this test, and I don't want to see it happen again, or I'm contacting your parents.
All right, it won't happen again. You're right. We're not in a gang, by the way.
Yeah, I know, buddy.
Well, shit.
Yo, what happened to you jits? Are you chilling?
Bro, Mr. Matheson caught us lacking real bad.
Yeah, he gave us all zeros on the test.
Holy shit, it sounds like Mr. Matheson just absolutely railed you guys. No cap. And all three of us proceeded to absolutely shit the bed on all of our next tests. And it was at the point where our grades were on life support and our math final was coming up. So if we didn't get our shit together for this final, our parents were about to put us on life support with that leather belt. So we put our cheating ways in the past and locked in, bro. We were focused in class, and after, we went to Bob's crib and kept studying there. And then it clicked. We all finally understood polynomials. And so the next day, we walked into class confidently, knowing we were equipped with hours of studying. We lock in, sit down, and then the teacher gives us our test. And as soon as we lay our eyes on that very first question of the test, pissed. We were fucked. Now don't get me wrong, we could do polynomials all day long, but we forgot this was a final. Meaning we forgot to study numeracy, exponent laws, rational numbers, linear relations, inequalities, geometry, probability, and statistics, and in other words, we didn't know shit. And before I can even make eye contact with the boys to tell them I'm fucked, these motherfuckers are already hopping back on the George method. And listen, bro, as you can tell, I'm no mathematician, and I did not study probability or statistics, but from what I'm seeing at this very moment, I have two options. I can do the test legitimately and have a 99% chance of failing grade 9 math and getting my shit whooped while simultaneously having my entire family realize they raised a dumbass who won't go anywhere in life and is destined to draw Stickman for all of eternity, or I could cheat. So we're out here hitting the George method, and I'm being extra careful, cause if we get caught lacking twice, it's complete and utter raps for us, bro. So we're grinding out the method, then the teacher looks up, boom, we're locked in on our own tests. He puts his head down, back to the method. And there was a few times in there I thought we were cooked, but we just kept it pushing. But still, we were low-key running out of time, and I had a whole page to complete. And God bless this random ass dude's soul, cause he raises his hand to ask a question, and as soon as the teacher turns his back on us, it's crunch time, bro. It's like double XP right now. Bob was out here throwing up these numbers so goddamn fast, I thought he turned crip for a second. And then the bell went off, and we were all done. Done, bro. We hand in our test and then it was time to wait. A few classes go by and then the teacher hands out our math finals alongside our report cards. And nervous as hell, we all check our report cards and we all passed, bro. So we all go home happy as hell to show our parents our report cards and the fact that we passed. Chains, you got a 54 in math? Yup, mom, I sure did. You raised one hell of a smarty pants. Oh, fuck. But at the end of the day, even if we all got our shit whooped, maybe the real treasure is the friends we made along the way. Yo, homies, I'm bricked up right now.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of awkward things in life, like the handshake fist bump dilemma, or waving back to someone who is waving to the dude behind you, or the U2 situation. Enjoy your meal, sir.
Thanks, you too.
Actually?
Wait. No.
But on this long list of things that will keep you up at night, I feel like school dances lands itself in the top three, bro. Cause it's like, is it a party or is it a school event? Are we hitting the Dougie or are we just standing awkwardly in the corner? There's just too many questions, bro. Like another question, who the fuck hired this guy to be the DJ? Like, I don't know how much they pay this dude, but it can't be anything over 50 bucks. I remember at my first middle school dance, I seen the DJ walk in with all his gear and shit and I thought, damn, look at those big ass speakers. This dude knows what he's doing for sure. Hey, Stickman Middle, are we ready to turn up?
Yeah!
One, two, three, let's go! So I walk over there to give bro some song requests that he so desperately needs, and as I walk up to this dude's expensive ass setup, I look down at his laptop, and this motherfucker's on Spotify, and he's moving around the volume slider like he's doing some shit. Like, bro, I could've done this shit for free. Nah, trust me, bro. I know what I'm doing, dude.
Want a break from the ads?
Now, to be honest, it was really the middle school dances that had me fucked up. Like, you took a bunch of self-conscious, prepubescent little kids and threw on some music and told them to dance with each other. Like, shit, of course they're gonna start hitting those Fortnite emotes, bro. That's all they know how to do. Like, these grade sixes are fresh out of elementary school. There's no way you'll catch one of these youngins asking a girl to dance. Like, they're still scared of catching cooties, bro. Or what about the grade sevens? These kids were straight menaces. Like, I remember at my grade seven dance, there was a duo. We'll call them Greg and Roderick. Greg and Roderick would run up on some unsuspecting students, and Greg would slide behind them on his hands and knees, and Roderick would casually strike up a conversation. And just when the poor guy was expecting it least, Roderick would shove his ass, causing the unsuspecting victim to trip and eat shit. And they went around to damn near everyone pulling this shit, until one time they messed with the wrong dude.
Hey bro, it's just a prank.
Now, grade 8. These boys are damn near in high school. They don't dance. It'll ruin their street cred, bruh. Instead, they prefer mosh pits. Rap, EDM, fucking smooth jazz. It doesn't matter what song. These grade 8s will be relentlessly jumping up and down for no apparent reason. And soon, these grade 8s will turn into freshmen. All that street cred they once had, gone. If you push one of these freshmen into the middle of a dance circle, he'll stress so hard, he'll start malfunctioning and hit those fucking Fortnite dances again. Now, grade 10s. Most of these grade 10s are a little self-conscious, but if you throw one of them into the dance circles...
Let's go, Michael! Whoa,
let's see it,
dance. Let's go!
Guys, what? I don't know how to dance.
Just Michael, do it.
Let's go, Michael!
Well, I guess I can bust out a few dance moves. All of a sudden, dude's got moves like Jagger. Come to find out, bro's been practicing for this moment in his room for months. So once these grade 10s soon become sophomores, those YouTube tutorials start paying off for real. And if they're lucky, they might even catch some cooties, bro. And these seniors just simply don't give a fuck.
Bro, watch this. I'm about to hit the worm.
What? You know how to hit the worm?
No.
Damn. And I'm not done flaming this fucking DJ. Like, this dude be leaving my balls more blue than Squidward paws. Is that lo-fi? And then out of nowhere, really quick, the DJ will throw on some heat and it'll have everybody turning up. But just as fast as Pop Smoke got that shit jumping, Ed Sheeran shut that bitch right back down. Like, mixing drill with The Shape of You has to be some sort of felony, bro. Like, tell me this dude deserves to roam the streets freely after pulling some shit like that. In fact, funny story, I had seen the DJ after the dance in the parking lot one time and we walked up and we jumped the fuck out of him. Alright, but not all DJs were out here committing war crimes on my ears. Like, you know the DJ was onto some shit when he got the students and the teachers turning up. Like, you play the right song and these teachers will forget they're on chaperoning duty. Shit, even the principal will start wilding out. Once you got the right song playing, motherfuckers will get hype over anything. Like, remember how hype it was when someone would land a flip in the middle of a mosh pit? Shit, remember how hype it was when someone didn't land a flip in the middle of a mosh pit? These motherfuckers were excited as ever, like they didn't just witness a dude snap his neck. Poor guy's probably getting trampled down there. Rest in peace. Sacrificed his life for a few Snapchat memories. But you know that one song, that when the DJ throws that hoe on, everybody knows what to do. Motherfuckers will run in from the bathroom, teachers will hop in, the Redditors will hop off the bleachers, and the school dance will be looking like something straight out of High School Musical. Bro, speaking of High School Musical, back in the day I knew a dude named Troy. I fucked with Troy, but let's just say he had a little bit of a lean gut. He was built like T Grizzly. Nah, fuck that. He was built like DJ Khaled. And I remember this dude Troy was just coming off a school suspension, but for whatever reason at the dance, this motherfucker must have been looking for another one. Cause Troy came up to me talking about how he was gonna beat Jordan Johnson's ass at the dance tonight, and honestly, I ain't believing him. So once the dance came around, he was beefing JJ every chance that he got, until soon JJ wasn't gonna stand for it. Now, a school dance is simply the best time for a school fight to take place. For the dude who wins. For the dude who loses, you literally have every single motherfucker in your school gathered in one place to get several different 4K angles of you getting pieced up. So Troy was really putting everything on the line here, because JJ was known for handing out whoopings like food stamps. But to be fair, Troy loved food. Regardless, JJ wasn't scared. In fact, he threw the first punch. Boom. But Troy ate that shit like a Wendy's 4-for-4 combo. And instantly, the entire school gathered in a circle. The circle was so big, there was no escaping. They were gonna have to fight to the death. But the DJ was so locked in that he was completely oblivious to what was happening. He was playing some happy-go-lucky ass shit.
Oh shit! Ooh! Damn!
Yeah.
Get his ass!
Let's go!
Beat his
go
ass,
Troy.
JJ!
I'm
Jordan Johnson!
Now, the moral of that story is, don't get into a fight at the school dance. Unless you know you're gonna win. Now, on another note, asking someone to dance is a very important topic when it comes to school dances. Now, girls, I'm sorry, I can't help you with this one. I've never asked a dude to dance before. But boys, shit, I can't help you either. I'm like 0 for 15 with this shit. But I do know someone who can. I'm talking about the homie Bob.
So Bob, how do you ask a girl to dance?
Watch and learn.
Is this motherfucker moonwalking right now? Oh shit. Oh, what the fuck?
Alright class, today we're going outside for a run.
But it's literally 0 degrees.
Oh, Chains, don't be a bitch. It's not even that cold. See? I told you guys it's not even that cold.
Yeah, for you. Cause you're out here dressed like the Michelin Man.
High school PE is something different. And every PE class has 5 different types of people. Like the group of kids who just stand in the corner and occasionally get sniped in the head with a dodgeball. Or the kids who participate and make sure everyone is included. Or the legend who's chilling on Instagram. he follows at Chains for real. There's also the dude who just never shows up. And of course, we got the sweats. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're in the military. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're training for the Olympics. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're gonna get scouted to the league. Which is honestly just funny as hell because, let's be honest, 85.7% of the class doesn't even want to be there. So you'll have some innocent souls zoning out during a basketball game, and all of a sudden they'll be getting posterized like they're playing against Ja Morant.
Yeah, bitch!
I mean, these kids will come out of PE drenched in sweat, breathing heavy, and with a smile on their face, knowing they dropped 104 points on some kids who have never touched a basketball in their life. And listen, don't hate me, but I do understand the appeal of sweating your balls off in PE. Because I too once participated in the sweaty activities.
Ooh,
ow. I know, but there's just something so exhilarating about hearing the snapping of an unsuspecting freshman's ankles. But as I matured, I realized there was only one thing better than shitting on random students. And that was shitting on sweats. I became the anti-sweat. I would act like an innocent soul waiting to get posterized, but when the sweat would come in trying to end my career with a windmill dunk, I stuffed that boy like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Pause.
And don't get me started on
the fitness grand pacer.
Whoever created this legal form of torture will catch these hands. Oh, Chains, no, I heard he sadly passed away a little while ago. You could be having a good day and you pull up to PE like, "Hey bro, you know what we're doing today? I'm not sure, but I think we're playing soccer."
The fitness group.
No, it can't be.
Alright class, today we will be doing the beep test.
Fuck.
Woo. Damn, what was I at? Chains, we haven't even started. That was just our warm-up.
But one thing that did bring me a little bit of joy was looking at everyone during the push-up section. Like, there was always some dude doing the neck push-ups, some dude who thinks he's Mike Tyson, the guy who takes breaks when the teacher isn't watching, and there was always at least one dude who was out here looking like he was hitting it raw. James, I don't think that's how you do it. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, bitch!
Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown ass 30-year-old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
"Damn, what do I look like as a grown ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?"
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
"Oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words.
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yo.
Yo, Pops. Well, let me bum a hit off that 50-nit guava ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?
Yeah, no, I
probably should not have taken a hit. But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know. I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking,
yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude?
And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way, way, way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
"Is Tessa here?"
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie, Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
"Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?"
"No, I would never."
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now, I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say, most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally.
Weird ass school, man.
But this specific nut break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind.
Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me? Nah,
it's nobody. It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What? Tessa? Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, sick. Go talk to her, bro.
Talk to her.
No.
Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends. So just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, did I just sell that shit?
Yep. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit. Here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love.
Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro.
Okay, simple. Let's practice.
Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done.
Alright, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back. And remember, the worst she can say is no, bro.
Alright, I'm ready.
You got this.
Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no!
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
jiggle. Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon. Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
"All right, Tessa, in my office,
right now.
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3 degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it, and he's not gonna check you.
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry, it's safe with me.
And it was safe with me, cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart, and that just wasn't happening.
And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office, and she didn't say a word.
We had nut break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again.
Psst. Tessa wants her vape back.
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning? You know, it was purple.
Oh, that vape. Oh.
Yeah, no, I threw that shit in the bushes.